From the studios of Boise State Public Radio News, I'm Gemma Gaudette. This is Idaho Matters. More than 40 million Americans will have to start paying back their student loans after the U.S. Supreme Court ruled just over a week ago that the Biden administration's loan forgiveness plan isn't legal. Earlier this year, the Idaho Capital Sun reported that more than 79,000 Idahoans could have seen some debt relief if that plan had gone ahead. The paper also found that half of Idahoans who have a federal loan are younger. We're talking under the age of 35 years old. So what happened to this original plan? Well, to break down the court decision, we asked Professor Shakira Sanders back on the show to explain. She is a professor of law and associate dean of anti-racism and critical pedagogy at Penn State Dickinson Law. Shakira, good to have you back on the show.
Thank you for having me.
Good to have you with us. So Shakira, what happened with the Biden administration plan that the court shot down on June 30th?
So it appears that the court has come to the conclusion that the administration lacked the authority to actually approve forgiveness of the loans that were at issue. Now, let's make clear that this lawsuit did not involve the Public Service Loan Forgiveness Program. Instead, this was another program by the Biden administration sought to implement.
Okay, so my understanding is the plan would have canceled up to $20,000 of debt for Pell Grant recipients and then $10,000 for many others with federal loans. And that is a lot of money for some folks. So with that said, as you mentioned, the Biden plan used what's called the HEROES Act. Do we know what that is and what does it do?
Well, we know that there are a number of plans that the Biden administration has been thinking of in the event that the court did what it did, which was to strike down the current plan it sought to enforce. My understanding is that some of these new programs really are going to look at the length of the student loans as opposed to sort of an across the board cut. It appears to me, however, that there may be some need for the administration to get some type of bill from Congress or an amendment to current statutes to allow for this, or we could be facing yet another lawsuit over the cancellation of student loan debt.
So supporters of the Biden plan cited the COVID-19 pandemic as well as other economic factors as part of the reasoning behind canceling student loan debt. In your opinion, were those valid arguments that were brought before the U.S. Supreme Court? Oh, I think you're muted again, Shakira.
According to the U.S. Supreme Court, the arguments by the Biden administration were insufficient to justify the program. Now, I'm sure many of your listeners are wondering things like automobile bailouts, PPP loans, and all types of other financial contributions that the federal government has made in the past to ease the worries of those who are suffering financial hardship. Whether those bills are now up for attack, we don't know.
Well, and let's talk about that a little bit, because, you know, there are, you know, opponents of the Biden plan that said students just took out those loans so they should have to pay them back, right? I mean, you take out a loan, you're responsible for it. Yet there are numerous people in Congress who are against Biden's plan who took out PPP loans. And we're talking upwards of $1 million and more. Mm-hmm. And yet these Congress people got to keep that money in order to keep their businesses afloat, right? It seems like it feels in a way as if many opponents are saying, well, what's good for the goose isn't necessarily good for the gander. And I think that's where a lot of people are struggling with the U.S. Supreme Court's decision. How can you say taking out a PPP loan, which you did not have to pay back, yet taking out a student loan, yes, you must pay that back, even though we all went through the same crisis?
Exactly. Now, I think part of this is a larger conversation in the law about the rights of businesses and corporations versus the rights of individuals. For example, usually when businesses violate the law, maybe there's a fine, but we don't put businesses in jail like we do individuals. There are emerging issues about privacy concerns and whether or not business privacy, which is not constitutionally protected, has overtaken individual privacy, which is constitutionally protected. And of course, here, the issue of when is the government authorized to assist individuals versus corporations? And why does it appear that the financial assistance to corporations is rarely challenged in front of the Supreme Court in the same way as individual economic contributions that the federal government seeks to make? Mm-hmm. Finally, I do just want to point out on this issue of student loan forgiveness, the empirical evidence is clear that African Americans in particular, but people of color tend to have more student loan debt than their white counterparts. A lot of that many attribute to the historical discriminations that exist in American society.
Historically, we know that people of color have had more student debt. They have had to take out more in student loans. That goes back to the fact of the lack of generational wealth within our country when we look at white students, right? I mean, with that said, I mean, yes, I went to a state college. An in-state college. I graduated in the 90s. So, you know, it was pricing was different then. With that said, I did not have to take out student loans. I worked in the summertime. I made enough money that I could pay for my first semester of college. I was lucky enough to have my parents who then helped with the other semester. That is something that in this day and age, if I were going to college, I don't believe at my parents' economic level of income that they could have done that. And I wonder if there is a disconnect, Shakira, as well with some people in Congress in particular who are opposing this so much, truly understanding how expensive it is to go on after high school.
Yes, yes. I think that's incredibly true with regards to this issue. Of course, to be in the position to even run for a position in the federal government, there's a strong feeling that you need to have a lot of connections. But I think a lot of this at its core, again, really gets back to sort of the failure to honor Brown versus Board of Education and the failure to desegregate and equalize schools across the nation. The issues that we see for students of color are also replicated for many white students who are poor. That's something to remember as well, even though we do want to be mindful of the racial demographics involved. Or the disparate impact that results because of race.
So with that said, it was a 6-3 decision by the court. Who wrote the opinion and what did they say as to why they voted the way they did?
I am not exactly sure if I can recall right now who wrote the opinion. Mm-hmm. But again, I think the basic message for the court or from the court is that the Biden administration exceeded its authority to approve of this loan forgiveness program, and that perhaps what is needed is either some legislation from Congress or a clarification of existing law to provide the authority to the administration to implement this program.
So, Shakira, from a constitutional standpoint, when the majority in effect said that, you know, the purse strings are held by Congress, they're not held by the president, has nothing to do with who the president is. Any president cannot make that decision. Constitutionally, I mean, is that correct?
Yes. One thing to understand about the Constitution and the powers of the president is that Article 2 is the shortest of the articles laying out the powers of the federal government. And a lot of the power of the president coexists with the power of Congress. But one thing that's important to remember is that the president does not have authority to make laws. They only have authority to enforce the law. It is Congress's job to make the law.
So with that said, the three who dissented, do we know what they argued as in this case?
I haven't had a chance to dissect the particulars of the dissenting opinions, but my understanding is that they dispute that there is a lack of clarity in existing federal statutes, and they dispute that the president lacked the authority to issue the loan forgiveness. I think there may have been one view as well that if there was some concern, perhaps the best method would have been to remand a case for a clear understanding of Congress's intent.
So at this point, Shakira, then the U.S. Supreme Court has set their decision. It's 6-3 against President Biden. So come the fall, there are people, as we mentioned, I mean, just in Idaho, more than 79,000 people who will be on the hook to start paying back these student loans. Could anything happen between now and then for something to change?
Yeah, I would be curious if whether the recipient of any of these loans would then now bring a lawsuit saying that because the loans are forgiven, they should not be reinstated. This probably wouldn't help those whose loans were pending forgiveness. But for those for whom the loans were completely wiped off of the books, there could be some issue with reinstituting those loans, especially where the federal government has represented that you no longer owe this debt. I think if a case like that reaches the Supreme Court, it could take some time.
So we will just have to see then if something like that would potentially happen.
As always, we will have to wait and see. Yes.
Yeah. So with that said, Shakira, I mean, you have taught at the university level for many years now. I am sure that you have known many a student who has taken out loans to go to college. Are you concerned?
I took out loans to go to college and law school, yes.
Right, as so many people do. So with that said, Shakira, are you concerned about, you know, students being able to go to college? I mean, because it is so out of reach financially for so many people.
I am more than concerned about the ability of individuals, particularly first generation individuals or individuals whose parents and grandparents were denied the opportunity to attend the college of their choices. I am awfully concerned about the accessibility of higher education. Whether it's because you're poor, whether it is because you go to an underachieving school and therefore you're not seen as very competitive. I think one thing we learned from the Harvard and UNC lawsuits last week on affirmative action is the high rate of individuals at some school who are admitted because of someone's connection that they know to that institution, which seems to have become a proxy for merit. And when you factor in the historical discrimination that exists in higher education in this country, I think that there are more than enough reasons for us to be concerned about its accessibility.
Mm-hmm. And Shakira, at this point, then, when we, you know, when we look at this student loan forgiveness, as we said, come September 1st, interest will continue to accrue for so many Americans. Is there a way then for folks to continue to defer loans? Because I ask that because we've just heard anecdotally with people who were so hoping that this would go through that they're like, it doesn't matter if we have student loans. We can't pay our student loans.
Well, we've certainly seen a number of attempts by the federal government to investigate institutions that aren't offering competitive education programs. And there we have seen efforts by the federal government to help students who may have taken out loans to pay for those types of programs. Otherwise, the message seems to continue to be that at least in the United States, education, while important, is not a fundamental right, nor is education guaranteed on an equal basis. I believe as long as that is the foundation of American constitutional law on the subject of education, we'll continue to see these inequalities with regards to access and affordability.
And at this point, Biden has a plan B to try to move forward some type of student debt loan to cancel this. Do we have any details about this yet and whether or not this new plan could stand up to a court challenge?
I have yet to hear whether or not Congress is seeking to pass any legislation. Of course, we have a Republican House and a Democratic Senate, both of which would have very small majorities for the ruling party. That seems to indicate it may be unlikely that we get a new piece of legislation. Again, I have seen proposed plans to address very old student loans, but it is unclear to me what the parameters of those programs are and whether or not they have the same vulnerabilities as the overturned plan from 2 weeks ago.
Well, as always, Shakira, it is so good to have you on and to explain this to us in legal terms. Really appreciate your time and expertise.
Thank you so much, Gemma, for having me.
Thanks so much for listening to Idaho Matters. Boise State Public Radio and Idaho Matters are members of the NPR Network. It's an independent coalition of public media podcasters. You can find more shows in the network wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Gemma Gaudette. We'll see you tomorrow.
From an Iraq war cover-up to towns ravaged by opioids to the roots of our modern immigration crisis, Embedded explores what's been sealed off and undisclosed. NPR's original investigative podcast reveals why these stories and the people behind them matter. Listen to the Embedded podcast, only from NPR.